Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty Yahweh promises to gather everyone he scatters. I am a Hebrew. We are Hebrews.
I am a Hebrew. I was born in Texas.
I am a Hebrew, and I am from Florida.
I'm a Hebrew, and I was born in California.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in San Diego, California.
I'm a Hebrew. I was born in Indiana.
I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Spain.
私は Hebrew で、日本で生まれました。
Soy hebrea. Nací en Puerto Rico.
I am a Hebrew. From West Africa, Liberia.
I am a Hebrew, and I was born in Straight Lane.
We are Hebrew.
Over my sister.
Shalom, shalom. I am blessed and highly favored, and I'm glad to know what love is. Hallelujah. My name is Sister Ashley. Ashley to the world, sister to my friends and family. And I'm hosting once again a show where we conversate and try to keep things self-reflecting week after week. I hope that you have found mercy and favor this week. I hope that you've had a beautiful time with the Father, maybe done some fasting, hallelujah, praying, lifting up our leaders, and always submitting and surrendering yourself to the man in front of you, hallelujah, to your husband and to your head. A mother and friend of mine co-hosts with me tonight, Mother Jennifer in Georgia. Let's hear from you. Let's get a sound check.
Shalom and bless you, Sister Ashley. Blessings to all of you daughters of Zion. It's an honor to be here tonight. Sister Ashley, thank you for allowing me to co-host with you. It's such a pleasure to be able to be on with the daughters of Zion And I pray that everyone can hear me. I have the chat room pulled up, and it looks like we're getting tens on both ends. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. I am loving where I'm at with the Father. I'm loving my Creator, and I glorify Him tonight in the presence of my people. For those who share my testimony and hear my voice, I love my Father. He's teaching me so much, and He's going to make sure I get to the kingdom, and nothing will stop me. I'm in all my Creator's love. I'm in constant self-reflection. I'm in control of my thoughts. I'm patiently waiting for His return. I live to please my Maker, and I glorify Him. Hallelujah. My husband, special honor, double honor, abundant honor to him, always, now, and forever. He's helped heal me. His firmness and his perfect balance of gentleness has shown me Yah's balance. And one thing that I hope to, in the future, talk about is how to love a gentle man. A lot of times you see one application or manifestation of the Father's love in a very stern, loving, gentle giant, such as our shepherd. And then there's also men, like my husband, who are built and created to follow and to serve. He's a deacon in the ministry. He's been with pastor for 20-plus years. He is currently at the same job for 23 years, very stable, very secure, and he has taught me things about my Creator I would not have known. And he's a perfect balance of who I used to be, because I couldn't remain who I was and please my husband or my Creator. So I'm very, very thankful for that man in my life. And I often will get questions, Mother Jennifer, this is still my acknowledgement, I acknowledge my shepherd always, but I will often get questions about, you know, what was it like knowing Shepherd when he was younger or when there was less people, or what was it like being close to him at one time, or, you know, just different questions are inquisitive of, because there's a different number of people now, and it's a different manifestation of family. It's much more tribal now than just a small core family unit we used to have, you know, 15 years ago. But, you know, who is my shepherd to me is a question that I get. And I answer it differently, but I do know that he's a man who understands burdens. He understands laying them down, and he understands carrying them for the people. And he is the object of great ridicule and scorn. And often his mercy and his patience with the wicked is accused of being inaction. When you think he's not doing something or he's not seeing, and this is more of a conversation with those who intimately know him. I know that those who don't know him, my words are going over their head, but he's always one step ahead. You know, sit back, watch, buckle up, long live the shepherd. Hallelujah. And to everyone who is listening, who has ever given a moment of their time on their knees or a dollar out of their pocket or of their hard-earned money to the ministry and the work of the Most High Yah, I thank you so much on behalf of everyone here that doesn't get an opportunity to say thank you to you. We would all say thank you. We know what it's like personally to give all. And so we also understand what you may feel like when it's pressed upon you to give. It's the life we live. And so we all share that feeling or that knowing, and we're inspired to give to our Creator through the work of the man's hands in front of us, our shepherd. So I'm also thankful tonight for our teachers, Teacher Eric, Teacher Shane. I'm thankful for Pastor Corey, which is a follower and a strength in the body under Pastor Dow's headship. And they've both been doing some really great videos. Pastor Corey had done a teaching on principalities, on the spiritual realm. Talked a little bit about wizardology, but I even taught some of my students from a teaching that he did. So very, very thankful to be able to have all the tools that I have, everything presented before me, to remove all excuses in my life, that I may be held accountable to all things that I've done in my flesh, held accountable to the thought and the intent of my heart. I'm very, very thankful for my Creator. His law is just and is holy. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer, what is on your heart tonight?
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, I just want to first and foremost acknowledge the Father for what he is doing right now in his people, for his faithfulness, for always continuing to keep me in such a world that seems unstable. You know, I said right before the show, I said it sounds so redundant when I'm thanking him for keeping me, but I honestly do thank him every single day for keeping me, and I mean it every single time I say it. It is an honor to be kept by him. It's an honor to belong to him. It's an honor to be taught how to submit to him. And so I just want to thank the Father for who he has created me to be and for the work that he's doing in my life and the lives of those around me, and the fact that he is faithful to complete that work that he has started. And I want to acknowledge my head, Elder Rufus, for being such a sound, consistent, stable presence, not only in my life, but the lives of those around me, those who I live with, his immediate family, those who live outside the community, those who are connected with Straightway, those who listen to his YouTube videos. I just want to really acknowledge his soundness and his relationship with the Father, and for being an example and learning how to be all things to all men. It's an honor to understand and know that I am his possession, that I am not my own. And I just want to really thank him for the example that he sets, his relationship with the Father, his love for the Father, his service to the Father, never complaining at all. And I want to acknowledge our shepherd, Pastor Dow, for continually just striving toward the kingdom, loving the people when it's difficult to love the people, loving the people when they refuse to be loved. Thank you so much, Pastor Dow, for continuing to follow the Most High Yah. As Sister Ashley said, you know, even in the midst of being ridiculed and being rejected, thank you for continuing to follow what the Father has placed in your heart in righteousness. And Sister Ashley, I just want to really acknowledge those who are connected with the Father, connected with the ministry, those who are faithful, those who give without complaint, whether it be of their time, whether it's of their money, whether it's whatever their service is, those who continually give without complaint, not needing to be seen, those who choose to love Yah, not expecting anything in return while on this earth, and those who just remain fervent and consistent in living out this faith. Bless you, and that's all I have. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, wow, when you're on the inside, if I can say the inside, of the spiritual oppression and the manifestation of the lack of love and lawlessness that's currently affecting the body as well as the earth, it's amazing how the strength that Yah has to give leaders. It's a very hard, hard, cold generation. And a lot of you recognize it and notice it, but you only know it within your circle or within your own understanding. And so when you're given the burden of more people or the direction of more people, guiding them, giving them any kind of, you know, just leading advice or them relying on you to provide them answers, you know, and then the greater that number gets, and then you get the title of shepherd or you get the title of elder, and then you bear the burden and you take more phone calls and you get more emails, and on the inside of a few of those transactions of, you know, the emails that pass through the help meets and then go up the chain, and just seeing the circumstances of houses, house upon house upon house being destroyed, devastated, torn apart, no matter who is to blame, you know, the enemy really, really lurking, trying to divide relationships. It's really gut-wrenching. And the strength that it gives some leaders and some men is really amazing, because, my sisters, there's liars amongst us and accusers amongst us and manipulators and cold, cold clouds without water, you know, and people that are lacking salvation but calling upon the name of Yah and claiming to praise in his presence, you know. And I'm really, really thankful for love that manifests. I remember it was probably, let me take a guess, 2 years ago, I don't know, maybe less, that me and Mother Jennifer, she has no idea what I'm about to say because this has just come to my mind. We were on a phone conversation, and she was like, wow, Ashley, did you hear what Pastor said? I'm like, yes, I knew exactly what she meant. Pastor said there's not a woman in the ministry who has a friend. Or he had said, not a woman on earth who has a friend, or whatever painful statement it was. And I was like, shit. Like, I really wanted to be. And I really felt that some of the women in my life were for me. And so it made me strive even harder. And her, too. She was like, I really thought I had him. You know? So we talked. We just got to push harder. We got to love more. We got to reach out more, make ourselves more friendly. You know? Do you remember that, Mother Jennifer?
Oh, yes. I remember it very well. And I remember what we went through to get to that point of loving more. And, you know, it's not just some prayer that you pray and then he blesses you with it the next day. There's a process that he sends you through. So, yes, I definitely remember very well that conversation. Sister Ashley?
We were both just willing to love and willing to change and willing to do whatever it took in our own hearts. You know, whether anybody else came up higher, whether anybody else made themselves a friend in their heart or whatever. And I was really encouraged for the very first time in the history of Straightway Ministry 2020. Pastor just said on a video the other day, there's only a few women in the ministry who have friends. And I can now boldly and confidently say I'm one of them, beyond a shadow of a doubt. I have a core group of women in my life that would lay down their life for me and constantly prove that they would do anything for me as I do the same for them. And, you know, we do fastings. We pray together. We're in constant spiritual communication. There's no foolishness. It's all about Yah. It's a really great place to be. And there's no room for the devil. There's no room for offense. You know, great peace have they who love the law. And I just want to throw that out there as somebody who, you know, has it manifested in their life and so that you can get it. You know, it's always about getting the thing you want when you want it hard enough. You know, when you challenge yourself to be friendly and to it starts in you, you know, not being offended, not being rejected by the person you're trying to love. And look at it like this, my sisters. Everyone that's a friend to me or I a friend to them, there's people outside of that. But it doesn't make that wrong. So everybody's not a friend to everybody, if that makes sense, because that sister may have great friends too, you know. So you really build bonds in the family that we have. I'm really thankful to have the angel of the Most High encamped around about those who love and fear him. I've never been in a better place. I've never been more happy. I have a beautiful home, beautiful children. I have great healing in my body, a great testimony. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, and I'm just thankful to be a part of the people who are hearing my voice tonight. And I pray that each of you have a very impactful testimony. And I pray that you're not afraid to share your testimony. You know, sometimes the worldliness in the crowd that you hang around really dries you up and withers you away. You know, but if you unite yourself with spiritual women, mature women, people who love the Father, that are constantly uplifting, you know, in your life, you can really be healed, because women are a tool used by Yah to heal a broken woman's heart. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. That's very true. And, you know, if we focus on loving one another, you know, not just the ones who you view as easy to love, but if we focus on the ones who you could tend to avoid because you don't always see eye to eye, focus on loving that one, and we could really get a core group of women together, and offenses won't even be able to come in at all. And I've seen it happen here in Georgia, where we've had a core group, a solid core group of women. It started out with three, and then it grew from there. But, you know, there would be a woman that would come in, and she would be offended. And these women are no longer here, but an offended woman would come in, and there was nothing that this woman could say that would divide that core group of women. And so as a result, that core group has grown, and it continues to grow, and it continues to grow. And it's because we have our minds made up to love no matter what. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. To our enemies who may rejoice, I think Pastor only has one more day in jail. Hallelujah. And to my friends and family, you understand. I marvel at the vomit that is spewed all over the internet, and then the restrictions that are limited over the base comments, you know, straight from the word. But our shepherd put in jail for 3 days per Facebook. Hallelujah. So let's see. We got one more announcement. Here it comes. You probably haven't heard it, and you'll hear it from Shepherd, and you'll hear if there are any changes, you'll hear it from Shepherd. March 24th, the land opens for visitors for the feast of Pesach, Passover, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread will immediately start after that feast. The 26th of March, that is when we will celebrate. It's sundown, the 26th. Hey, it's 12 weeks away, 12 weeks away, and you must go home by the 29th, meaning our land is open for a very large crowd of people, the saints of the Most High, from the 24th to the 29th. It's our pleasure to serve you. We always look forward to it. We have 12 weeks, and I pray that you're always in constant reflection. There will be faces that you will never see again, that you saw at the last feast or that you even saw for years. They sealed their fate this dead season, and the body count is rising. But for you, mercy. Great mercy has come your way. Hallelujah. March 24th to the 29th, 12 weeks away. No one will be staying through the entirety or length of Unleavened Bread. And if anything changes, I'll let you know. And if anyone's permitted to do so, it would be per Elder Becker or Pastor Dowd, request their permission. So we hope to see some of our brethren from out of country. Hallelujah. And to the aged women, I never forget you in my prayer. And those of you who are determined to follow this straight way and deny the culture and all its broken promises, and I really, really lift you up, praying that the Father always protect you and spare you from his wrath that is to come. And to the women who follow the men that lead you, you are my family. I'm in constant prayer for all of Israel, calling you by name. Hallelujah. And, hey, I'm learning a lot, Mother Jennifer. Are you learning a lot?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Always, Sister Ashley. Never a moment when we are not learning, especially in this ministry. I marvel at the foresight that is given to the man of Yah and the ones who follow him. So it definitely is a season where we are learning so much. Yes, ma'am. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Hey, so it might be a quick show. It might be just a quick few emails I want to read. I want to throw a thought at you. But before that, special thanks to my homeland saints, those who are here. I have a beautiful family. I walked in here to Blog Talk tonight, and I got a note right here on two bottles of water from Elder Becker. This is actually his office, the one that I'm sitting in right now. It says, Ashley, is waters if you need some, Elder. And, you know, no matter how busy each of us are or are not, we still consider one another, you know, think of one another. We will, like on 6 days, for example, it's one of the days that we eat at home. And what eat at home means is, you know, we have a dining hall facility. You know, we break bread together almost every day of the week. And 6 day is one of the days, Friday, the world calls it, that we'll actually eat at home. So, you know, you're constantly, well, myself, a mother, and a few others, you know, you're constantly cooking for those who come and visit or go into one another's house. You know, we'll go up to elders and eat with them. We might have Brother Victor, Sister Jordan over to our house. I feed a lovely brother named Brother Zay or Brother John McNabb, hallelujah, to his family in the house. And that's just my story, but each home has their own story of breaking bread one to another. And tomorrow we have Brother Ray and his family over. I always look forward to 6 days. It's special to me. you know, a little more intimate or private than the dining hall setting. And that's just what we do. We have laundry days, cook days, you know, facilities we clean, deer we process. Greenhouse things we process. It's pretty low key in the winter, you know. Homeschool mom and a teacher. You know, if you're teaching your children, that keeps you busy. So I just love life, and I've told people time and time again, and my testimony will never change. It took me years to love life, and now I'll never, you know, hate it again. I never wish it away. I really, really admire it, and that's something that you can attain to. That's something that you produce within your own self, to aspire to that love. And if I ever lay down my life, and if I ever go meet my King and my Maker before any of you, just know that my joy has been found. Hallelujah. That's my testimony. Hallelujah. So, Mother Jennifer, anything from you? How's Georgia? Everything all right before we kick off? You wanna kick off for me? You got some thoughts?
Sister Ashley, I'll tell you that Georgia is growing. I'll let you kick the show off, but I'll tell you that Georgia is growing. And, you know, it reminds me of, I often think about Straightway and how Straightway started. And when Pastor started putting himself out there on Facebook, you know, and then we showed up, and then the community started growing more and more and more. And so we are in that place now, where Tennessee was when Elder Rufus and I first stepped foot onto the land, and, you know, how well we were received, and we were received with so much love, and we are in that same place, and it is very exciting what the Father is doing, and, you know, we're all adjusting, but the people that the Father is bringing, the people have beautiful hearts to serve, and it's very humbling to have such people come. You know, we don't have people who come in with these false expectations or great complaints or anything like that. So I am honored that the Father sees fit to bring such beautiful servants to Georgia. And that's all I want to say. Sister Ashley?
I had a story come to my mind for tonight's show, and it is that came to my mind. This is it, just one story. And I promise you I haven't thought of this story in years. Unless I've shared it with someone privately, I've never shared it openly. And it speaks of adultery, okay, adultery. And it's a story that's personal to my mother, who is not here to tell it. So if I can say I represent her in a way, but I want to use it to try to spark some thought that's deep buried in your hearts as you are, you know, as a woman in this culture. Of course, you have been at some point evilly or demonically affected by body image and the seduction and the lust of a man, you know, maybe rape, maybe molestation. Maybe you had an idea of what fornication was or sexual promiscuity or adultery was. But knowing the devil, who is constantly ministering through the minds of people, he never clocks out. You know that somewhere in someone's heart there's adultery. And it can go under the radar just as a thought that you would catch and pass down or not pay attention to or not repent for. And I guess it's why the dialogue needs to come up tonight, because as a married woman, if you are thinking of another lover or another man at all, is sin. Thinking of a man you once were with is sin. Lusting for a man that you once remember is sin. And you have to begin to think like Yah in order to be clean and to be free. And it takes a really determined mind, Mother Jennifer. It takes a really determined mind for a woman to have been ravaged, as each of you have, and to try to strive to think like our Father and to really produce change. And just before the show, I was telling Mother Jennifer, I know what it's like to think contrary to the Father and to strive to be more like him and to think like him and to fight and claw and resist everything inside of you that opposes his way. But I don't know what it's like to turn and think another way, to turn and want another way. Everything that's been presented before me as a truth is just simply something I will get, period, plus nothing. I will face it. I will embrace it. I will rejoice. I will love it. And I think for some women, it's the same testimony, wouldn't it be, for some of you? But then there's that other woman that is determined to look back, you know, to have a heart for many lovers or another God or another way. And so this adulterous story, for whatever reason, might allow someone to meditate a little bit deeper on their circumstance. My biological father, who committed suicide at 39, I think he was 39, I don't know, 40 maybe, I was 16. He committed suicide from my perspective, because he's not here to say his story, but he committed suicide because he had committed adultery, and he had committed biblical adultery. Biblical adultery is lying with someone who is already married. And he lied with a woman who was already married. They had a relationship for at least 11 months, and I don't think that that was the only woman that he was with. I think there were three, if my story is true. He's dead and not allowed to tell it. But he was married to my mother for 17 years. And in the last year of his life, he lay with three other women, all of which were married. And so after 17 years of loving this man that you've been with ever since you were in high school, and you're raising children, and you're monogamous, and you're controlling, and you're dominating, and you're doing whatever you want, then this man does whatever he wants, and now the marriage gets flipped upside down. He can't live with himself. He commits suicide. Why does that matter for adultery? Why is that a story? Because if you think about your personal family and the sexual promiscuity that was allowed or permitted or seen, my family was very steeped in incest. My father's side was raped by their uncles, raped by their grandfather's friends, all under the influence of alcohol, forced to commit oral acts and thrown money at their feet when they were done. Very demonic, sickening, oral sexual practice. And then incest came about when uncles would take their brothers' daughters and rape them. And this is in my family growing up. This is not far removed from me. This was my childhood. So I was spared. My mother protected me. Long story short, that's not why I'm telling the story. When you think about the sexual promiscuity of your family or the background of what built their commitments and their covenants one to another, if they kept them or broke them or not, how they dishonored or disrespected one another, what flesh meant, what sex meant, all those things subconsciously taught you love or not, right? And so my mother, being committed to the faith and the way, and she was actually an instrument that was used to bring me into this way. And I'm here, she's gone. Her heart was faced with a very painful truth of polygyny, that a man can be with more than one woman and love and provide for that woman, and her heart could not overcome the pain of her past, nor could it face that hurt and say, that there was any justification in a man hurting a woman this way. So I stopped that story and I ended and I say that's over, but it cost her soul. Now she abides somewhere else and she's not in fellowship, and whether or not she keeps the feast or the Sabbaths or whatever life is like for her, I don't keep a relationship with her because I seek to gain the trust of my tribe. How can my tribe trust me if I have an enemy? Welcome, right? So my husband doesn't permit it, and I agree and submit. So when biblical marriage, love, is introduced to you and your heart, what do you face? What do you think? And for a lot of women, they're reaching out, wanting someone to understand, and they're going the wrong route. You're going to the man that's beside of you and wanting him to support you and support how you believe and how you think, and wanting him to feel like you feel, wanting him to stand up for how you feel, and you're met with resistance. It's like talking to a stop sign and telling it to go. And it angers you. And I just want to interject that thought. And as I pondered this conversation started tonight, I must also say something very painful that I almost hesitated to say, Mother Jennifer. And that painful statement, my sisters, a reality that you must face, is that it is an adulterous heart that opposes biblical marriage. And if there be opposition in you, you must push past your own adulterous ways. Mother Jennifer.
You know, Sister Ashley, when you have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and living in you and leading you and guiding you, there are certain areas where you just don't allow your mind to go to. When you think about Yah's ways, and when you're learning Yah's ways, and especially when he's blessed you to come this far and to learn the truth. And, you know, we understand that we've been lied to about everything in this world. And, you know, for some women, it's easy to accept the fact that we've been lied to about Christianity, the fact that we've been lied to about, you know, the way that a woman should look, the way that a woman should dress, the way that a woman should treat her husband or submit herself to her husband. But then when you come along to the way that marriage is supposed to be, you know, you've accepted all these other things. But when it comes to marriage, then you're not on board all of a sudden. And that really does go to show you that you have the heart of an adulteress, because you refuse to accept the way of Yah. And so many times we give our mind over to these things that are not his ways. You know, he said that his ways are higher and that his thoughts are higher, but we're giving our mind over to something that is completely contrary to him. And so we had talked a little bit before the broadcast about, you know, when you are submitted to Yah, you have to have a governor on your mind. And so there's certain places that I just will not permit my mind to go. Even if there's something I don't understand right away, I never allow myself to speak against it. Verbally, mentally, in my heart, I never allow it to develop. Even if I don't have understanding right away, because I understand that if I submit myself to him, when the truth is presented, that he's going to give me the peace that is going to surpass all the understanding. And in that peace is where I have safety. You know, I will obey the governor that is over my mind and over my heart, because I understand that the torment that comes when you allow yourself to go over to the other side and you submit yourself to anything that is contrary to Yah. Sister Ashley?
And submitting yourself to anything contrary of Yah is really surrendering to fear. because that's what presents itself when you are charged with love. When you're charged with love, you know, don't fear another woman, my sisters. Don't do that. You know, live a repented life. You know, if you made mistakes, show the world, show the man in front of you, show your Yah how much you love him, you know, how much you're willing to change and be committed. We can produce so much more than what we are. And when a single woman comes around, there should be no fear in you or disdain or thoughts, you know, controls, anything like that. Handle these things, and you go, well, man, how do I handle it? I got this going on and that. I mean, everything's overwhelming you. You're very maybe disorganized, scattered, numb, tormented, fearful, you know, scared, shaky, et cetera, all the circumstances that can come upon you because you're thinking, you're trying to hold on to your way, and you're trying to clutch it, you know, something tangible. It's like, part of being a Gentile, adulterous woman is, you know, grabbing a hold of your child and saying it's mine, and grabbing a hold of your husband and saying he's mine, and claiming all these possessions unto yourself, and when the father takes them all from you, you know, and pushes your back in a corner and just says surrender and serve and love and submit, and all these things feel so overwhelming to you, I don't know how to teach you to rest in him. He'll do that. But at least each week we're able to spark conversation that will help you think on him, his ways, you know. And if you hear overcoming women talk in your life, then you'll know that you're able. It's very priceless to have overcomers in your presence so that you also can overcome. But my mom, you can side with her. You can be as she is for whatever your story is. You can say that, you know, the crossroad I'm at right now is too much and I'm not willing to love the Father in this capacity. And you can leave. You know, the body count is increasing. But I just beckon to you to say that if you open yourself to love and to freedom, you will understand what healing is like. And, you know, like Mother Jennifer said, she doesn't allow her mind to think on certain things or her voice to even speak certain things. And it's true. A woman of self-control will control her thoughts. You know, my acknowledgement in the beginning of the show was I control my thoughts. And it's very true, my sisters. I really do control what I think on. I really, really do. And when you don't understand what that freedom's like, you know? You don't understand how free somebody can be, how rejoicing they can be, how full of love they can be, how forgiving they can be, you know, because it's hard for you. But, hey, I just plead with you to get clean and to get clean now, you know. And that's really all I wanted to present tonight was just that story and hopefully help somebody out. Mother Jennifer?
Sister Ashley, I just want to say that, you know, so many women have been tainted by the world. There are so many experiences in life that have hurt women. And when you come this way, you know, the Father gives us the tools that we need to be able to purge that hurt away, to get rid of that hurt, to be delivered from that hurt. But so many don't take advantage of that opportunity. And so they're carrying around the hurt of the past and not purging themselves and purging their minds and purging their bodies of those things from the past. And then they're punishing someone new that comes along. And this new person, this new man that is committed to love you, or this new sister that is committed to love you, you're punishing them for something that they weren't even a part of. And I hear pastors say it a lot. Sister Ashley, I know you've said it a lot. We've talked about it, how the more people that come in, the less deliverance is getting done. I remember when we first came this way, you know, in Georgia, we were doing deliverance quite frequently. Every other day, we would call the dining hall, I'd talk to Sister Ashley, and I'd say, hey, tell me about this spirit. This is what I've learned, and is there anything I'm missing? And, you know, and we would do deliverance daily in the house. And then we go to Straightway and we get more deliverance. And then we come home and we get more deliverance because the Father was revealing and showing us who we were. We understood what it was to purge our old ways. But now it seems that there's so much, there's so little deliverance going on now. And we're punishing each other for the things that have happened in the past because we are refusing to face those fears that have ruled us for so long. And the torments for us just seem to be a normal way of life, and that's not the way the Father has intended us to live. Sister Ashley?
That's right, and as I always tell you, it's my staple answer to someone who's trying to change their mind. You've heard me say it before. Perfect resistance. If you perfect your resistance, Yah will hold his promise of delivering you. Okay? Don't own your thoughts if they're not like him. Don't own your way if it's not like him. Change it. Change it. Change it again. Change it again. You know, put your nose to the grind. Stop wanting a break. You know? Also, I'm going to read a couple of emails, so we'll switch it up. That's enough on that. More for community, sisters. I want to help bring peace to your mind when a lot of people are being added, you know, to your fellowship or, you know, to your Shabbats, maybe your emails, your phones, whatever, you know, just as you allow more and more people to come into your life. And you, I want to tell you as a woman that you're not possessors of the people and you're not controllers of the people. And so let that really be your leading thought. You know, in the world, you held responsibility for everyone's actions. Like, oh, I'm about to go tell her about herself. You know, I need to stop this right now. Why is she over here? Why are they doing that? Why ain't she getting delivered? She needs it. Why? You know, I don't know what kind of aggressive or masculine thought pattern that you may be trying to shed. But when people come around, they belong to the Father. And I learned this patience by very few people that are in front of me that ran this race with patience before me when they didn't accept the responsibility of someone else's sin or nature, you know. You're going to see somebody who's constantly staying in their way or getting worse year after year or, you know, just whatever the circumstance is. Don't put that weight upon your shoulders or in your mind or be burdened by someone else. You know, they belong to the Father. His revealing of who they are to themselves belongs to him, just as he also reveals you to yourself, you know, just as they endure you as you grow, you know. So this land belongs to the Father. It's his work. Our homes belong to him. Our families belong to him. And he could really just rest in that. I want to read an email real quick, Mother Jennifer. But this email was already answered by, who was it? Me this time. I also have an email that you had answered. Just want to throw a couple of these out. I've actually been wanting to do a live video on our Help Meets channel for a while. Just throwing these emails out here. Sakina's laughing because she knows I've been bugging her about getting a camera in front of my face so I can read these emails. But hey, I'll just throw it out on the show, okay? It says, Shalom, Mother Jennifer, Sister Ashley. I wanted to know if one or both of you know anything about herbs and their association with witchcraft. I've been researching herbal medicine, and a lot of witchcraft-related things pop up when I'm searching about herbs and formulas to put together for teas, etc. I can't get a straight answer on the internet, and I frankly don't trust the information that's being tailored towards holiness and the Torah. So, could you all give me whatever info you have and how to make sure that I stay on the safe side of herbalism? Thank you. And I put, herbs of the field are for the service of man. The service can become witchcraft. Okay? The service is the application or the use of the herb. The how-to method that a herbalist teaches you to use the herbs can become witchcraft. So the properties and the minerals within herbs are for internal service and simplicity, and taking the herbs in teas, tinctures, or capsules is not witchcraft. Hallelujah. And I just put, hope that sparks your thoughts. She said, thank you, very clear. All right, let me go to the next one. Let's see. I start them all, so y'all give me a moment. All right. This is one that I appreciate, my sister. I appreciate it. And we keep these things anonymous. So I appreciate your trust in us as you ask the question. The question is, How do I overcome not wanting to have sex with my husband? All right. She was replied to by an internal service worker that said, thank you for using this avenue to seek wisdom. Your email has been passed along to Sister Ashley. Now, I could make a whole show out of this, and I could really get detailed maybe in the future. Hallelujah. But for now, here's the answer. Consider what is in you that doesn't want to give of yourself. Consider the darkness of your heart that wants to take and not return. In your heart, your meditations of your husband could be very disrespectful. You also withhold yourself from Yah. And this is a mirror of that. Until you are naked with Yah and let him see you, you will withhold yourself from your husband. Don't focus on the drag, it feels like. Focus on making him pleased. What if he stops wanting you? Let that be your motivation to please him all the days of your life. You reject yourself, and the lack of desire for pleasure represents your hatred of your body, etc., etc. You owe him the promise you gave him. If you can't meet that expectation, cry out to Yah. Be personal to Yah. He's your only deliverance, and thank you for asking. And she says, thank you. Mother Jennifer, would you like to add to that? We could be very detailed. I try to keep my emails direct and to the point, but help me out. Any thoughts?
You know, Sister Ashley, I think it was answered very well. And I will say that a lot of times in marriage, there's communication that is lacking. And I'm not saying that that's the case in this letter, but a lot of times, simple communication will solve so many problems. You know, if your husband, if your master doesn't understand or know that you're struggling in a certain area, then there's no way that he's going to be able to help you. So sometimes it just may be a simple request to communicate, making sure that your heart is right first and foremost. And things can be resolved quickly that way. But I think that was a good answer, and I don't have anything to add to that. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Quick testimony. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Bless you all. If this testimony ever fits into a sister-to-sister show, please feel free to share it anonymously. Yeah, it's worked on my heart, and it's very humbling to be where I am now and gives me great hope to know he can take me further because this testimony is still a work in progress. I received the spirit of rejection at a very young age, and in the world, my way to cope with it was through vanity. If I kept everything in my life as shallow as possible, I wouldn't have to feel any pain or rejection from anyone. Everything about me was vain, surface level, self-centered. Subconsciously, I believed that if I looked and acted perfectly all the time, people would accept me. The rejection that I received turned me into an extremely shallow person. I was unable to give or receive love, cold-hearted, unable to feel anything. Over time, I became very disconnected from my emotions, good or bad, and would go every single day not feeling anything. I would go several months up to a year without crying, tears of joy or sadness. Nothing moved me. Nothing made me angry. Nothing made me happy. I was extremely indifferent towards everything. It was better to not feel anything at all than to risk feeling rejected. Since coming to the faith, there have been times that I thought I had truly forgiven someone. Hold on, I need to write down a thought to cover in just a moment. All right, let me go back. Since coming to the faith, there have been times that I thought I had truly forgiven someone, but Yah had revealed that this wasn't true. I was so used to keeping things surface level all the time that saying, I forgive this person was easy, but my fruit was not matching my words. I was so far out of touch with my emotions that I literally did not even know I was holding on to bitterness, hatred, resentment, or anger. So I surprised myself that I even had these things in me. I'd been deceiving myself, and only Yah could show me this. It took almost a year being humbled and chastened by Yah continuously, literally week after week, for me to finally admit to him and myself how broken and empty I was on the inside and to let the facade go. Yah has truly given me a heart of flesh for stone. He has shown me the error of my ways and how much I need him. He's endured me much while softening my heart at the same time.
Words cannot describe what it is like to actually be able to feel again, to not shove all my emotions deep down inside, but to bring them out and deal with them with Yah by my side. I found freedom in being broken and completely transparent before him. I praise Yah for the words in Ezekiel 16. But thou was cast out into the open field to the loathing of thy life in the day that thou was born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thy own blood, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. I cling to this testimony as a reminder of how loving and patient our Yah is. Shalom, our sister. Bless you. I said hallelujah. You'll now be able to strengthen the body. Thank you for your overcoming testimony.
Hallelujah.
Go ahead, Mother.
I'm saying hallelujah with you. Very, very encouraging. Hallelujah. That's all I have.
All right. Question in the chat room. Does a woman have to be in love with a man who wants to marry her? I would love to give you an honest answer of a no. But let me tell you, in this day and age, the no could be hell. It's supposed to be a pure, surrendered, how would I say it? Circumstance that you will serve, submit, obey, learn to love. You will be taught how to love. But the hell that comes with saying no and giving a woman the answer no might mean that she would lay with anybody who wants her. So we have to be very, you know, very careful how we answer. It's like, for a virgin who's marrying a man, does she have to love him? No, she'll learn to. She'll give her life for him. But for an adulterous woman, does she have to love a man to be with him or marry him? If you tell her no, her heart will leave him in less than a year. You know, Mother Jennifer?
Yes, ma'am. And the state of the heart and the mind of the women that you're actually talking about or dealing with today is completely different from the old ways of our women, you know, the ways of that the minds of the women used to work, of our ancestors, is completely different. Like I said, we've been tainted, and it's not an easy answer. It really is not. It should be, but it's not, because we, as people, complicate it. Sister Ashley.
Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah. We are part of the coming out. So there's glory and rejoicing in that testimony, but at the same time, there's grief and much sorrow. I got one more email. Shalom, Mother Jennifer and Sister Ashley. How do the straightway communities deal with lazy sisters? Thank you and shalom. Shalom. The best way to deal with lazy sisters is to focus on your personal tasks. I'm going to pause right here for a second. You'll see that our answers are catered to cover. We are covered women. A covered woman is not a possessor of another woman, nor is she a domineering presence in that woman's life. Now, depending upon your community responsibilities, you may have to give some direction, but at the same time, to function as a woman running around thinking that she needs to direct other women, whether they're lazy or not, you're out of order. As I said, the people are a possession of the Father. So with great patience, you wait for the Father to change circumstances, because on a community, things just aren't always right, period. And they might go on for years, right? But it still all belongs to Yah. So Mother Jennifer says, shalom, the best way to deal with lazy sisters is to focus on your personal task. Remove the temptation to point the finger first. Let leadership handle the issue. Ask yourself this: do I perceive laziness in them because I'm lazy in areas? Have I followed the righteous steps to truly love my lazy sister? And the honest answers to those questions will help you to move forward in peace. Let me slow down. Also, be sure to overcome the temptation to murmur and complain about where you think others fall short. Yah has equipped each of us in a different way. You may have more talents because he can trust you with more. There are many variables. I hope it all makes sense, Mother Jennifer. And I had also responded to her, just a little background, if you please, depending on the service on my phone, which can and does and don't work. And, hey, sometimes it's a benefit when it doesn't anyway, so it's never a complaint. but service, you know, will come and go. And I actually saw the email and didn't see any response because it did not come through. So I responded and then also apologized later, you know, that my sister replied immediately after notice. Mother Jennifer is wise counsel, so pardon me. So I also sent her that email. But we're still both in line. It's just she didn't need two people responding to her email. So I put a good question. Each sister has mandatory responsibilities and extracurricular activities. What is extracurricular? That's just fun, things that you choose to do, things you want to do, decisions that you get to make, you know. And both of these provide a discerning mind with evidence of her nature, you know. What I mean by that is I type it here. Commonly, extracurricular activities draw excitement from a woman's heart, and mandatory responsibilities draw murmuring from a woman's heart. Commonly, passivity and laziness is manifested. I personally save myself and I gain peace in my own service towards the Father. Save yourself is a great answer, but circumstances may call for changes. You might have meetings or assignment changes, instructing her to speed up or show up. Lazy women are not committed to Yah. And in time, all things are manifest. You want to represent your gratitude to the Father without trying to control a woman that you have no ability to change. Sadly, and with full understanding, I am saddened that you would have to even ask this question. This generation is proving such a passive approach to our Father, and each circumstance requires a different approach, so I hope this helps. If you're ever on a community, depending on the leader or your oversight, you would have a good perspective of what to do as a woman just observing someone's contrariness. If you're given leading responsibilities in your own home and as a woman, or if a woman is not supportive of you, I suggest you do all you can to pull her out of the fire, but also know when to leave her alone. And I would suggest she reads this email if you're inquiring of someone personally. If her heart is open, then she would know to rise up and demand more from herself or her children will be no better than the way she was or her mother was to her, Sister Ashley. So just dropping food for thought, sounded longer than it really is. It's just quick emails that I wanted to throw out there because maybe you'll benefit from seeing how we respond, you know, in emails, seeing how we are, or we always, you know, turning everything back around, having you to think about you. Some women have listened to us long enough that they'll have a lot of honor in their email. You know, they'll already be typing up, like, all the ways they see themselves. You know, like, I got this going on and this going on, and I'm seeing that. I'm working on it, but how do I do this? You know, with much honor, please. Because it's like, I want you to know that I think on myself, and I'm expecting you to turn the finger back on me. Here is a, how as a mother can I start loving homeschooling? Oh, man, how can you start loving homeschooling? I guess maybe your idea of what it should be like is making it oppressive to you. There can be a fun factor. There can be play. There can be interaction. It's nothing like public school. I'm going to tell you right now. Public school, like, get that out of your mind. Okay, everybody, all 35 of you homeschool students, you're going to sit at the same time. You're going to be quiet. You're never going to get up. The bell's going to ring. We're going to be done. It's like we're in a home. We got children of all ages. We got knocks on the door. We got this going on. Play-Doh on the floor. I got to cook dinner by this time. You know, man, relax. Have a blast with your children. Don't be so uptight. You're gonna regret who you should have been. I used to look at grandmothers and say, man, everybody loves being a grandma, but they have really shitty stories of being a mom, like all these regrets, right? And I don't mean everybody, but just in general. So I'm like, I'm going to be that grandma now. You know, I said this really early on, and I'm loving it, every moment of it. But you have to, as an authority over your child, you have to be that authority. Because if that child is ruling you at all, you will never have peace homeschooling. Never. Because y'all showing you you're not in order.
And if you look at it like, I want to respond to my husband the way that I'm trying to teach my children to respond to me, you'd be amazed how everything falls into order. You know, you're expecting things for your children, but yet you're not looking at yourself as a child to the king and priest of your own home. You know, so how do you enjoy it? I guess you see the importance of it. Like, does calculus really matter? Am I teaching you to love calculus? No, but I want you to love interacting with your child and embracing these moments. Like, this is all they're going to get. It's a one-time opportunity to grow up and say, I either loved my mom as a homeschool teacher or I absolutely hated it because she hated it, you know? So you mature up and you say, they're banking on me, you know? They're banking on me, my attitude, every day. And I appreciate y'all for the high standard. Like, thank you, Father, for these little eyes are watching my every move and copying me. Because if they didn't, I would slack and I'd fall by the wayside and just be lazy, like the generation I'm living in, you know? I hope that helps. Mother Jennifer, I know you got thoughts.
Yes, ma'am. And sometimes, Sister Ashley, you know, women can tend to start off with negative expectations of what they think homeschooling is about or what it's going to be like. If you listen to the women of this world, you know, because of everything that's happened this year with COVID-19, there are so many women of the world who have been forced to homeschool their children, and they absolutely hate it. And if you listen to their testimony of teaching their own children, I mean, it baffles me when I hear it, but, you know, how they hate teaching their own children, you are going to end up having a negative view of what you think homeschooling is, and it's going to be miserable for you. But once you actually understand and know, this is our heritage. This is the heritage of our people. This, you know, I'm in a position where I can partake in the old paths and I can teach the old ways to my children. Then you'll get joy out of it. It's all in a mindset, and we can't have the mindset that America has taught us. We have to have the mindset of our ancestors. And when you do that, you will learn how to really be grateful and have the gratitude to be able to homeschool your children. The fact that you are able to stay home and to school your children. There's so many women who are not in that position. So start off with gratitude and really thanking the Father for putting you in that position, and that will take you a long way. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Repent for not loving your children. Repent for your selfishness, you know. Selfishness is the only reason you wouldn't want to teach them. You've been given an awesome opportunity to allow something to go into their mind or keep something from going into their mind. It's a perfect place to be. And if you don't want to be that, it's your desire to just be lazy, give yourself over to your flesh, be idle, you know, think on yourself, care about only yourself. And so you just start to hate and disdain the flesh that opposes the thing you were created for, which is to love and raise your children, your husband's seat. So it's a mind change, but it can happen faster than you would imagine just if you stay repented. You can get any goal you want staying on your knees, but you can't hit goals standing. All right, next question. How can I stop having negative thoughts? These questions are coming in the chat room, by the way. How can I stop having negative thoughts from demons and evil spirits? Get them cast out. That is the only way, period. As you hear Mother Jennifer and myself, we are seasoned in deliverance, first of all. We've had it hundreds of times, and if we say or I testify to you, I am in control of my thoughts, it's by much war, much resistance, and much maturity that I've attained this place. I share it with you so that you will follow, and you must get deliverance. You will not get free without it. Test that boast. As I said last week, hey, call in. Who wants to testify that you got freedom without deliverance? I'd like to hear your testimony. I'm being honest. I'm not mocking. You need deliverance and lots of it. The scattered, unorganized mind, you know, everything that's going on, everything's too much, overwhelming, too fast, this, that, everything. Ah, you feel like screaming, right? A demon inside you wants out. Let it out. We got a story of a young 13-year-old girl that used to follow, listen in her closet and scream into a pillow to get freedom.
You can get deliverance. You know, we get a lot of questions about self-deliverance. I'd love to teach you self-deliverance. We could do a show about it week after week, but some of you aren't ready for self-deliverance because you're trying to avoid deliverance. You're trying to avoid someone helping you because you don't have the humility. I tell women all the time, sometimes you'll sit in a deliverance chair, and though you might not get deliverance, you'll get the next step of what you need, but it takes your humility to sit there. And you're so afraid of not being ready, or so afraid of the sister seeing you or seeing through you or you not being ready. Damn it, where's the person that says, I want to be free and I don't care who's looking, I don't care who's watching, watch me get to the kingdom. Where's your mind that says that, you know? I'm going to show Yah how much I love him. I'm going to shake this off me. This is not like him, you know? And you come into a fellowship and you begin to form bonds and you form trust, but the negative to that is you form mistrust too. So now you have these mistrusts and you have these reasons why Satan loves to get involved in the mind and go, man, I can't ask her, and I can't ask her, and I can't ask her. And then there's wisdom that says you can't ask her, you know? So there is a perfect balance, but, man, just dig in. Dig in. It don't matter how old, how young, how it don't matter. You want to show somebody how to get free? You want to glorify the Father and be his true fruit? Man, get some deliverance. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
Hallelujah. Sister Ashley, you talked about mistrust, you know, and if you're walking around with mistrust, there's no way that you can expect the Father to use you in deliverance. So you have to get over that, the shame of what you think it might sound like when you're sitting in the deliverance chair, you know, the confessions that you're going to have to make so that you can be set free. You have to get over that. There's no way that the Father is going to be able to use you if you are walking in areas of mistrust, not trusting people. Now, I understand what Sister Ashley said when she, you know, she said, you got to follow wisdom sometimes and understand and know, okay, this one's not going to be able to help me. But don't let it be because of the fact that you don't trust or because you're embarrassed or because you're ashamed or because you're prideful. Let that all go. And let your motivation be the fact that you need to be set free. Sister Ashley.
Hallelujah. Pick someone who can really help you, honestly. You know, someone you can trust. We're not asking you to go to those who you can't. And there's a perfect balance. But if your mind is being raped by mistrust of this sister, that person, like just really step back. Think about yourself. Think about those thoughts and see where they originate from. You know, and all of it is to conspire against you to keep you from freedom. Hallelujah. So another question in the chat says, can you get deliverance from pride?
Sister Ashley, I'm gonna interject real quick before you go. I see there's a lot of questions that are rolling into the chat. Well, there's a couple about self-deliverance. So I want you to repeat what you said about self-deliverance before we read these questions. And I understand that some people are in a position where they can't get to the saints. But I want you to repeat your statement about self-deliverance, about some of y'all just ain't ready. Can you repeat that, please?
Absolutely. So, you know, I'm going to repeat it a totally different way because I don't remember verbatim, but Mother Jennifer, self-deliverance is set before those who are desperate and those who can't get to one another. But at the same time, we don't teach a lot of how and why because it would promote you staying isolated. And you not knowing how to do it on your own, not knowing what the freedom is like, not having a witness of someone with maturity that's walking you along or you know, telling you to take the next step, et cetera, you would just be left out to your own. And women are just not supposed to function without a covering and direction, you know, within the body. So we get a ton of questions about self-deliverance. And some circumstances are legitimately you can't get to us, you know. You're out of country. Or you can't travel here, be just financially, whatever the circumstance. You will get deliverance by crying out to Yah, literally on your knees, just constantly crying out to Yah. You don't have to have a tip how to bind, how to who to what, and what's this one called, and who does he fight, and where's all my books and my arsenal. Where's just the basis of salvation, you know, the basis that just says save my soul. You know, can we, Father, can you look into the chat room tonight, Yahweh? Tell me how many women are tuned in that actually have your salvation, you know, your law written in their heart that's going to save them. We are saved, saved by his law, you know. We're salvation. So you seek salvation first. You seek the kingdom first. All these things will be added unto you.
But what we deal with a lot of times is women wanting self-deliverance because of their pride and not wanting to yield to another woman for their circumstance or to reveal who their heart really is, because we try to paint this phony person that we are, and it's just not the case. You want to be able to have that humility in your heart that will sit down in a chair and say, hey, this is what I got going on. You know, how do I get free from this? And that woman might cast a spirit out, or that woman might say, hey, sis, how about this? Go read this. Go listen to this message. Repent for these things. Write this stuff down. Come back to me, you know. And you need that partnership, and you need that guidance. And that's why a lot of times we don't just loosely throw out self-deliverance tips. But if you're really desperate, y'all's going to deliver you.
And ain't no show or no message or no nothing a requirement. It's just your sincere heart and your repentance is going to be meet back with you with total freedom. So you can scream in a pillow and get these emotions off of you. I mean, day after day. You know, sometimes you get freedom and you want it to last you, and you don't understand the dynamic of the spirit. It's just to last you to the next day, you know, to the next moment, to the next prayer, to the next fight, you know. You're not going to get up out of this self-deliverance and just be charged with such energy to go on and face the battle the rest of your life without visiting it again. You know, it's a journey. It's a journey. So, man, long to be in the Father's presence and pray and talk to Him, confess to Him. Don't be ashamed to call out your sins to the Creator that we serve. Is that good, Mother Jennifer?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. And a lot of times we miss making the proper confessions. You know, your time with the Father, you can make the proper confessions that you need to be set free. I have received deliverance on Sabbath while listening to the music for praise and worship, waiting for the singing to start, because I've made the confessions beforehand. And I didn't know I was going to get deliverance while just, you know, listening to the intro music. I had no idea. But I had met the conditions, and Yah was ready for me to be set free at that point. So it really depends on the condition of the heart. And, you know, Pastor always says, desperate people get deliverance. The Father is going to find a way for you to get delivered, but you have to be desperate, and you have to meet the conditions. Sister Ashley?
I mean, you can go down a quick checklist, my sister. I had a question in the chat room about pride, right? Let's go down the checklist. Can I lift my hands in the assembly without shame? Can I pray, shout, dance, and sing without being embarrassed? You know? And you can begin to reflect on yourself. Can I, because I came out of a white church full of dignity, and that's all I've ever known? You know? You look at your past and your history and you go, man, I could give myself to many men, but I can't give myself to Yah. I mean, you really talk to yourself and go, what? There's something wrong here. You know, I hit my knees and I don't got nothing to say. What? I've had that happen before. I've had sisters ask me that before. I don't mock by any means because their heart is really serious. So when you hear me talk tough on the show, it's not, my heart is very tender. So a sister asked me, you know, what do you say to the Father when you pray? Like, how do you even start? What do you talk about? What are you talking about? What do I talk about? You know what I mean? Man, have you ever been desperate before? You ever been on fire before? And you needed water to put it out? You know, it's that kind of desperation. And so another tip for self-deliverance is, I'll give you a trick of the enemy. On our show, we talk about just not being emotional with Yah. You know, just wailing out a bunch of emotions and then not committing in your heart to change. But then a trick of the enemy says, well, am I just being emotional with Yah? Maybe I shouldn't pray. You know, maybe I shouldn't confess. Maybe I shouldn't cry to Him because I'm just being emotional. So you sit and cry to yourself. You know, so you have to learn the dynamics of your opposer, your oppressor, your enemy. Like what I just said to you the other day, my sister, if Satan is Satan to you, and he is, then what's his technique? Think like that. How's he going to get you? How's he going to lie to you? What's he going to make you feel? You know, he's going to be the best oppressor and opponent that you've ever went up against. You know, I told somebody, hey, in my past, right, when I was competitive, and I no longer function after the works of the flesh, but in my past when I was fleshly,
man, if I could just see Satan, I would put my nose to his nose and just, we would play ball, you know? But now I rely completely upon my Savior Jesus Christ, his blood, my Redeemer, you know? So you really, there's a resting place in deliverance that you can get to that says, I'm going to get the victory every time, all the time. And I'm going to do what it takes to get it from my aspect. Like Mother said, you know, you're desperate and you've met the requirements. So you're going to get it, period. You're going to wait, you know. We're just part of such a culture, Mother Jennifer, that everything happens so fast. And when nothing's happening, it translates to something's wrong. And that's not the case either, you know. Stay on your face. Talk to them and tell them how desperate you are. It doesn't matter how many times deliverance gets brought up on the show and you see the desperation or the chat room or the questions, but some of them keep evolving and rolling into this big snowball and you never got freedom from the last show we talked about 6 months ago. You know what I mean? And you got to talk to yourself that way. Like, am I proactive in this? Am I just waiting on Yah to deliver me without getting deliverance? Just sitting back and waiting on him. Man, there's just so many aspects, my sister, and I hope that helps. A lot of you have just not had a go-getter mentality. You haven't had somebody in your life that's really pushing you, you know, a reason to thrive or a reason to live, a reason to move and breathe. You're just really passive and lazy and idle. And I don't see many women come out of that. Like, I don't, hey, where's the woman that can testify that, man, I used to be so passive, lazy, da 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 da, and now I'm a go-getter. You know, where's that at? Hey, please send it in. You know I'll read it on the show. But, man, it's just a mentality that you have to have when it comes to defeating Satan's kingdom. My husband teaches, hey, you are going to get the victory because it's already been won. And so many people lay down in the battle defeated and just live that way. And so there is a mind change. There's a victorious mind change. So when you want deliverance, it's because it can be given to you. Hallelujah. Mother Jennifer.
And, you know, Sister Ashley, you just simply have to have your mind made up. When I speak with Elder Rufus, if you know, I have questions or I'm struggling with something, he always says, I simply have my mind made up. You have to have your mind made up, period. And I know it sounds redundant, but it really is true. And a lot of battles, a lot of things that you battle, you have to just have your mind made up that you're going to get the freedom that you're going to get no matter what, because your mind is made up. Sister Ashley?
Hallelujah. Great show. Thanks for the conversation. I'm out of words. Thanks for your time. Mother Jennifer, please end the show.
Bless you, Daughters of Zion. We have Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread coming up very soon. And this is the time to really start examining your hearts. If you have not already begun to do so, please do not wait until the last minute. Blessings to you all, and thank you so much for tuning in. I love you all dearly. And Sister Ashley, that's all I have.